You are listening to the epic fantasy novel Lion's Last Kill. And this is Chapter 19, The Descent. If you like epic fantasy and this kind of thing, visit one of my websites, www.stormthecastle.com, www.castlefiction.com, or www.epicfantasy.com. And there's a dash between the epic and the fantasy, so that's epic-fantasy.com. Once again, thanks for coming. Oh, and if you want to listen to this novel from chapter one, from the very beginning, you can find all the chapters for free on any of those websites. Thanks again. And again, chapter 19, The Descent. Enjoy. Varga opened the door when the four of them walked out into the stairwell that led back up to the top of the mountain. They checked their clothes and inspected their robes, but it wasn't a precise thing for them. They were moving as if they were in a thick soup of air. They were physically exhausted, and the oracle had drained them, so now they were also emotionally and mentally exhausted. Bosch was glad that they would have a few days of going down, and it should be a good few days. Each day the air would thicken and their strength would return. They crouched their way back to the cliff face that they had climbed up, and Mazer tied the safety rope around his waist. Then, grabbing hold of the main line, he carefully dropped his legs over the edge and lowered himself down. Through the whipping wind, Bosch watched the two ropes tighten with Mazer's weight, then disappear. It took a fraction of a second. The ends of both ropes just ran off the edge of the cliff. In the thinness of thought, Bosch just stared for a moment where the ropes had just been. Without any warning, something went wrong, and in the blink of an eye, Mazer plunged to his death. Bosch turned in his crouch and peered at where the rope should have been secured through the python and ring. Through the blinding wind, he saw two figures. One was supine on the ground, and the other was coming at him in the slow motion of muscles straining against the altitude. It was Briok, coming at him with his hands extending for his neck. Blood was on his hands and face and smeared across the front of his coat. Varga lay dead on the ground near the ring and piton, with something sticking out of his back. It looked like a very large dagger. Bosch was frozen in shock, and he just watched Briok approach him in a slow motion of horror. His mouth wide open, but unable to utter a word as Briok closed on him and tackled him with both hands on his throat. He fell back, with Briok on top of him, and his head was leaning over the edge of the cliff. There was nothing but a very large amount of thin air between him and death. He saw a calm in Briak's eyes. This was the assassin that was marked for him. Funny how he chose this time to fulfill his plan. He had many other opportunities to do it along the way. He stared into Briok with sympathy. The man must have wanted to see the oracle first, and now that they had done that, he would be able to make the descent on his own, and in a few moments, he would be on his own. Bosch struggled at the hands at his throat, but they were strong, and he was weak. From the first moment he had lost his ability to breathe, and his already depleted strength was fading fast. He felt a great sorrow for having come this far and having found the answer, and not be able to complete the machine and save the troubled world that he so dearly loved. His eyes streamed with tears, not just from the pressure around his neck, but from the irony of knowing the word that would unlock the memory of love inside Briok. If he could just utter this word, Briok would hear it and change. His desire to kill would leave him, and he would be reborn. The breath stone fell out of Bosch's mouth, and he just stared into the calm eyes of Briok. How could he have misjudged the man so easily? How can a man hold the thought of murder in his mind for so long and not give away a hint or clue of it? Bosch had forgotten all about the assassination attempt on Avram. In the ardor of the journey and the climb, he had forgotten that there was an assassin at large, possibly several assassins. The two of them received a jolt, and just as Bosch was about to pass out from the pain and the lack of air, Briok went limp and slumped on top of him. Bosch took a painful breath and weakly put his hands up to his throat. Just before he passed out, he watched as Briok was pulled off of him and a face come up close to his in the wind. It was Grell, his bodyguard. Bosch hadn't thought about Grell all of a sudden stopping in his duties when Bosch left the castle on this journey. And now he realized Grell hadn't stopped in his duties. He must have been following along the whole time and all the way up the mountain. It was an amazing thing that Grell had done. Bosch came to in what seemed like just a few seconds, and he looked at Grell. He seemed terribly underdressed, but didn't appear to be cold. He was wearing his silvery jacket, along with a matching hat, gloves, and pants. They all blended in so well with the white background of the mountaintop that he was almost invisible. Just his face was clear. Grell found Bosch's breath stone and placed it in his mouth, and Bosch welcomed the increase in oxygen. After a few minutes of labored breathing, he sat up. His neck hurt very badly, and it felt as if part of his windpipe had been crushed. It was difficult for him to breathe. Something inside his throat was bleeding, and he had to remove the breath stone so he could spit blood on the frosty mountaintop. With Grell's help, he stood up and walked over to Varga, and the two of them looked at the cold, lifeless body. He had a dagger on his back, and his throat was slit. Briak must have approached him from behind, slit his throat, then stuck a dagger in him. For a few precious seconds, it had left Varga in a terrible dilemma. Letting go of the rope to defend himself against the assassin would mean letting Mazer fall to his death. The thin layer of frost and snow around Varga's body was a mess of blood and footprints. He and the assassin struggled, and although it was a battle that Varga couldn't have won, it had given both Bosch and Grell enough time to react. Grell removed a rope from Varga's pack, and then took Bosch's rope. He ran them through the ring and tied one to Bosch. After about an hour of slow maneuvering, Bosch had managed to descend down the ropes to the first cliff, and Grell came right behind him. Several hours later, they had carefully moved their way along the cliffs and precipices and had found their base camp. They climbed into the tent, and Bosch crawled into his sleeping bag while Grell kept watch and inspected what supplies they had. Bosch fell into a dreamless sleep and didn't notice any pull of the Oracle. He was in bad shape, but he had made it. He had seen the Oracle, and she had given him the answer that he needed. All he had to do now was get back to his world and complete the building of the machine. This is the end of Chapter 19. Stay tuned next week when we go on to Chapter 20, Descent Continued. Thanks again for listening.